Good morning. Grace, joy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before God. Our Father and our God, we do give thee thanks for this Sabbath day and the opportunity to assemble ourselves together to meet with you. We ask that you meet with us, that the Holy Spirit of God would fill us and equip us so that we may worship in spirit and in truth, and that the consequence would be that we would be built up in our faith, that we would grow in grace, become ever more like the God who bought us, and that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be glorified, for He is worthy. We ask these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from the book of James, chapter 2, the first 17 verses. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, let's hear the inerrant word of God. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. May God bless the reading of His holy word. We turn from the word of God to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, page 875, questions 73 through 75. And we will read these responsively. Which is the eighth commandment?
The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal.
What is required in the eighth commandment? What is forbidden in the eighth commandment?
The eighth commandment
forbid. And our Old Testament reading is Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Let us hear the 10 words of God. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Let's go together before God in prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks again for this Sabbath day and for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together to meet with our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have spoken to us. If we had but had the ears to hear, and that perhaps indeed we have, may it be so. But we also thank you that we still have half the hour left, and you will still be speaking to us. Help us to listen, to hear, to understand, and to obey. Now, Father, open our eyes to your word, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. The larger catechism differs from the shorter in this commandment, as it does in almost all the others, by telling us more of what's involved with that commandment. The obvious thing with you shall not steal is you aren't supposed to steal. And it wouldn't take us but a moment or two to give a little bit of thought to figure out, well, that would mean not just taking somebody else's lunch money, but it would also mean, for example, not taking somebody's pay and not doing the work. There's an old expression for that. Some of you may never have heard of gold bricking, but that's it. I knew a man once who, it was my home church, very interested in evangelism, and he finally got fired in spite of working a union job, got fired from U.S. Steel, because Bob Valentine spent all of his time sharing the gospel at work instead of doing what he was getting paid to do. That's called stealing. And he wasn't being paid by U.S. Steel to witness. He was being paid by U.S. Steel to do whatever his job was. That's gold bricking. There's no way around it. His obligations to God do not excuse him for that theft. And that's what it is. The Eighth Commandment deals with other kinds of stealing. And we'll just kind of pass over this briefly. For example, if you are engaged in business and you make a contract to do something, then you need to keep that contract. Now, you would say, well, isn't that false witness? Yes, but that's just one of those places where you can break two or more commandments for one action. If you make a contract and you don't keep your word, then you have stolen and you've lied. That's what's so cool about the Psalm 15 in verse 4, which talks about who can ascend to the hill of the Lord. It's he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. If I make an agreement, Blaine collects copper. If you have that copper laying around, he would be happy to take it off your hands. $2 something a pound now? $3 a pound? I can remember when it was 40 cents a pound.
And I remember also having to, when it jumped to 60 cents, do a night watchman job and having to look at high tension wires because people were stealing high tension wires, which were pure copper. All I could think of is, I'm not going to see any missing high tension wires, but I might find a body hanging there. I never did. Thank the Lord for that. 3,000 volts can really ruin your afternoon. 660 can ruin your afternoon. At any rate, he who swears, if you make a contract, you're going to, I promise to give Blaine 100 pounds of copper that's laying around, and then I decide, oh, it's $3 a pound? I'm going to sell it myself. I have lied and I have stolen because I made an agreement. Those things go together, speaking the truth and stealing. We are required to do those things. But the larger catechism, by tracing through all of Scripture, as we know, the 10 can be summarized in 2. Well, the 10 are expanded in the hundreds. And then they're expanded further in the wisdom literature. And we'll be looking a lot at Proverbs this morning. Or I'll be reading to you a lot from Proverbs. And then they're also expanded in apostolic commandments and apostolic exhortations. I've told you before, to my mind, I can't think of a better analogy. You probably can. But I look at this study and I think of a rosebud. You know, when they first form, they've got those green leaves on the outside and it's very tight. And the first thing that happens is the green leaves peel back. And then you can find out, is it a red or yellow rose or whatever. And then the bud starts to open up. And you have that nice little bud that you usually want to give for a gift. And then it opens all the way up. Well, what the larger catechism does is open it up some. By the way, it doesn't open it up all the way. J.G. Voss, Gerhardus Voss's son, wrote a column for the Blue Banner where he wrote a catechism on the larger catechism. And some of us, we were studying that. It's a big, fat, paperback book that I've got. And I'm serious. With each one of the catechism questions, there are sometimes as many as 10 questions opening up one question in the catechism. And he hasn't exhausted that opening up, that understanding and ramification of what you shall not steal actually means. We're going to look at just a few sections. Picking up, well, let me just read it. The question 141. The duties required in the Eighth Commandment are truth, faithfulness, and justice in contracts and commerce between man and man. We've already dealt with that. Rendering to everyone his due. And the proof text comes from Romans about custom to custom, obedience to obedience, and so forth. Restitution of goods unlawfully detained from the right owners thereof. And they deal with various portions of that. And that's obvious, so we won't spend time with it. Giving and lending freely according to our abilities and the necessities of others. We're going to take some time with that. You mean not steal means give? Yes, it does. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 30, Jesus says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. So this deals with another aspect of the question, which has to do that we are not to be, even though this question deals with we should work hard, we should earn, we should invest, we should acquire capital, it also says we're not to be in love with this world and this world's goods. And one of the reasons God might bless us with getting this world's goods is so we can give to those he hasn't given to. And so Jesus tells us to give to everyone who asks of you. By the way, did you notice when we read the Ten Commandments? The fourth commandment tells us that we have 7 days in a week, and 6 of those days we're supposed to do something nasty. Work. Why? Because we're not supposed to steal, as the New Testament tells us. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I made bread this week. It was heavy bread. It was deliberately heavy bread. The 4 cups had only one cup of actually wheat, half a cup of bread flour, half a cup of whole wheat. The other stuff was cornmeal, rye, buckwheat, brown rice, millet. No, I don't remember all this stuff. And it was great with the beef stew. I was so surprised it didn't make me sick. Grapes did, but that didn't. Well, in the instructions, it said you need to kind of, I don't have a sifter, but you're supposed to sort of sift, because if you just scoop it, you'll pack it down. And then you have too much stuff. Well, Jesus is talking about pack it down. Cram it in. Because that's what God's going to give to you. He's going to give it compressed, packed down, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, be put into your bosom. For the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Do not steal means to be liberal in your giving to those who have need for it. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, John writes, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Well, that's a rhetorical question. It doesn't. If God, who gives us so much grace, lives within us, then we have that kind of love. We've received His love, and therefore we love. And how can we see somebody who's starving and we close our hearts? The hardest part about my trip to Uganda was when I was doing a tour of this village with the mayor. And we were going to homes, trying to share the gospel. And in a couple of homes, there were people who were extremely ill. No doctors, no medicine, and no money if there were any. And they asked me to pray for them. And oh me of little faith, I can only think of, you know, my prayers. And for the first time in my life, I wished I had that apostolic gift of healing. I prayed, and again, maybe it's a lack of faith on my part, but the hurt that I could not help these people except for prayer. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, Paul wrote, let him who stole steal no longer. Oh, he's repeating the commandment. And here's one of the reasons we know it means more than just not stealing, but rather let him labor so he can be wealthy. No, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. In Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But it also says before that, to all. To my brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ first, yes, and especially them. But if there's opportunity, that means there's somebody who has need, and secondly, God's given me the means, then this commandment means I must give. As God has enabled. We're also told to have, again, that moderation of our judgment, wills, and affections concerning worldly goods, a provident care and study to get stuff. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you don't work, we're told by Paul elsewhere, you shouldn't eat. And he's not talking about those who can't, those who won't. But in the context of saying, actually, that people were being busybodies, they're spending all their time, kind of like Mr. Valentine was, all their time talking to people but not doing their work. That's a sin, and it's a violation of this commandment. In Proverbs chapter 27, and verse 33 through 27, I'll just read the whole section. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever. There's an old saying about investment that you can buy your stocks and just leave them alone. And that's often good advice. But if you really just ignore them, you might find that you've invested in a company that goes bankrupt and now you have nothing. Doesn't work that well. Riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants. We are to take good care of what God has given to us and make it grow. There are people who don't realize that investing is a godly thing to do. And if you have invested, you're a capitalist. Repent. We are to keep, use, dispose of those things which are necessary and convenient for the sustenance of our nature, suitable to our condition. That's what we just looked at. We are also to be diligent. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And here's another one that just throws me. Frugality. What's that old Puritan proverb? Make, do, fix. How's it go? Mend, make, do, or do. Thank you. You know where they got that from? His name is Jesus. In John chapter 6 and verse 12. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. All that copper wire that Blaine is happy to take off your hands is in keeping with that commandment. The two recycle bins out there, the aluminum cans, and the plastic bottles. The aluminum sometimes is worth something. I'm not sure what's happening right now. The plastic, well, at least it gets used. Janae got a jacket this week. It's made out of recycled bottles. Is it scratchy? Oh, soft. Wouldn't imagine it with the crinkles. That's frugality. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Save it up. I may not get to eat all that bread. Anybody want to try some bread that's hard as a rock? If you throw it, you could kill a rat. Avoiding unnecessary lawsuits and surety and other like engagements, and an endeavor by all just and lawful means to procure, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as our own. And I'll have a comment about that in a moment. But Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 35 says, if one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a sojourner, a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Do you understand that? It's not just the brothers, it's also the foreigners. The WAPs. You know that means without papers. Because Italians usually came here and had no birth certificate, no citizenship paper or whatever. And that's why it became a term usually referring to Italians. They had no papers. Couldn't prove who they were. Many of them had to stay a long time, I think it was Staten Island, to make sure they didn't have diseases. I wonder if my great-grandfather had papers. He was Swiss. They probably did. German efficiency. But if someone becomes poor, because it happens, we had a drought this year. About a lot of farmers probably didn't make much money. And sometimes you are in a business and it goes bankrupt. You know, maybe somebody sold you on the idea of the DeLorean. It was a cool-looking car. But if you bought stock in it, I always thought the AMC Pacer was a cool car, but that's not a good investment either. That happens, and it can happen, and it's not because they're not diligent. Maybe they're ill. We're to work hard to help them. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In farming communities, where much of my ministry was before I arrived here, I've been a pastor here longer than I was anywhere else. Not just longer, I think longer, more of my ministry here than the other three places that combined, other four combined. But if somebody's cow gets loose, or cows get loose, well, this scripture is often followed. Not just because you don't want to run into a cow with your car, but you will. I've seen people get out and actually start herding cows back into the fence, and sometimes you'll go and call the homeowner, the rancher. He may not be home, however, which is why people will try to shoo them back in the field. That's watching out not just for your interests, but for theirs. I remember calling one time because a cow got out and got stuck in a ditch. Just that Bible verse popped in my mind. I wasn't going to drag it out. I don't know anything about them. I did get to feed cows one winter day. I had a car that was broken down, and one of the farmers took me out. This is, I think, before Michael was born. And so I'm carrying the straw, and I slapped the cow in the butt so she'd move out of my way, and he looked at me rather upset. When you saw that big woolly head, that's not a cow. He was a very docile. He skittered away while I was thinking about skittering away. Look out for your own interests and the interests of others. There's an aspect to this I want to take a minute with. Sorry, allergies are getting me. What this is telling us is, Lee's not with us today, but so I'll sort of pick on him. Do you know how to invest? Do you know how to buy stock or mutual funds? Do you know how to choose good ones? If there's someone here who doesn't even know how to save, it's your job to teach them how to save. And it's your job to teach them how to invest. Do you know how to garden? And there's someone in our church who could use some extra stuff in the summer. I mean, many people bring extras, bring their surplus. One hill of zucchini will feed the world, I know that. But teach them. It's your job to teach them. We don't normally think of it this way, but that's what it means to not steal. Is to not only not steal and not only work and to be able to give to others, but to teach others how to work. If you are a health and human, no, not health and human services, human resources person, and we have someone in the church who looking for a job and doesn't know the first thing about applying for a job, it's your job to teach them how to write a resume. It's your job to teach them how to do the interview. All the things we do. I remember Leonard Coppice writing a piece one time. There's a place for mechanics, and they're very important. But any one of us, even the most mechanically diminished capabilities, can learn to change oil and an air filter. Even I can do those things. I can even change spark plugs in most cars. Well, not the cars I own now. I don't even know where they are. But learning to do those things. And you might be a mechanic and you could teach someone how to do that. That's what it means not to steal. To work. To invest. To save. To teach others to do the same. To do, as the Catechism puts it, by all just and lawful means to procure, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as your own. There's a limit there. Just and lawful means. If you've learned how to do a Ponzi scheme, that is not a just and lawful scheme, okay? Please don't teach others how to cut cards or how to load dice, okay? Those are not just and lawful means. And as God blesses us with surplus, part of the reason why He's done that is that we may help those who need the help in the name of Christ. How many hospitals are something Methodist or something Presbyterian? I know in the South of something Baptist. And yeah, there are city hospitals and there are private hospitals. But how frequently Christians have given money and resources to help people. He means like that. God demands it of us in His law. He demands of us a generous spirit. I know it sounds strange to come from a political conservative, but He demands that we be liberal, in those respects at least. Let's go before our God in prayer. Our Father and our God, we've dealt with some of this under "You shall not covet," and some under "You shall not bear false witness." But particularly where stealing and coveting overlap. Stealing starts with that coveting. And if there's something that I desire, I need to work and save and pay for it, not steal it. And I need, and we need, to give what our employers are paying us to do. And we need, Father, the blessings of hard work and saving and investment and frugality, among other things, so that we can be gracious as our Heavenly Father is gracious, merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful to those who need this world's goods. Bless us, not just with this world's goods, but with that love, that liberality, that we may give. And bless us, Father, with using the things You've taught us or allowed us to learn, that we may teach them to others, that they may provide for their own. They might even be able to work and have enough to give to others who are in need. We beg this of You. In Christ's name, amen.